world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to this Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day and are having a good week so far. You know, as I always say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Oh yes, we got a lot of things to rejoice about. You know, God loved you. He loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Now you think about that. You think about that now. God gave his only begotten son. Now some of us got two. Some of us got three children, four. Some got seven children. Listen, which one would you give up? Which one would you give up for the sin of man? For sinful women and boys and girls? Which one would you give up? Most of us wouldn't give up any of our children. But God, think about it. God gave his only begotten son, even for the worst sinner. Amen. 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 All right. So we got a lot to be excited about. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, I'm excited today because this is the day that we focus in on marriage questions and answers. Oh, yes. Marriage questions and answers. I like marriage questions and answers called help is on the way. Listen, listen, listen. Once you dial 911, then you know help is on the way. Yeah, when you dial 911, you know that help is on the way. If there's a fire, when you dial 911, they can send the fire truck out. Or if there's a medical emergency, you dial that 911 and they'll send an ambulance out there for you. Help is on the way. Listen, 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 listen. Sending in these questions, these Bible questions and marriage questions and things like that. Help is on the way. Listen, listen. When you tune in to the Situation Room, basically you have called 911. You just tune in to 911. Help is on the way. Yes, it is. Help is on the way. And the beautiful thing about marriage questions and Bible questions and the topics that we cover here in the Situation Room, we can all learn from each other. Yeah, we can all learn from each other. Because as I always say, you're either going through a storm or you're about to go through a storm or you're coming out of a storm. Yeah, yeah. So if these problems hadn't hit you, 9 times out of 10, they will. And so you're getting some information ahead of time. Or if they may not necessarily hit you, but they may hit your children, or they may hit your nieces or your nephews or your friends, somebody that you know. And so by you tuning in, you're getting some answers. You are equipping yourself where you can minister and help others. All right, well, let me just get some questions. Let's get some questions. I got 3 good questions I'm going to try to answer today. And marriage question. And just in case you do have marriage questions or Bible questions or questions pertaining to the Christian life, you can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can call them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. And those of you at the church, you know, you can always drop your questions into the offering basket. Just write it on a lit sheet of paper and just slip it into the offering basket, and with a lit note saying KLITB questions. All right. Let me get my Bible here, because we got some questions here. Let's see, can we help? All right, first question. My wife and I both have had affairs in the past. What can we do to rebuild trust in the marriage? All right, let me make sure I got the question down. My wife and I both have had affairs in the past. My wife and I both have had affairs in the past. What can we do to rebuild trust in the marriage? Well, now I assume that you already have repented of your sins and have gotten right with God, because that's where it all started. Now, if you haven't repented, then that's where it needs to start. You need to see that your ultimate sin was against God. It wasn't so much that you sinned against your wife or sinned against your husband, and you did do that, but your ultimate sin is that you sinned against God. You got to see that the root of your sin is you weren't right with God. Somebody wasn't right with God. Both of y'all wasn't right with God, because it said both of y'all done had affairs. And so you got to see that. You got to see that. Because, see, you can fix this thing between you and your wife, or, you know, your husband and what have you. And soon as your wife make you mad or your husband make you mad, you're going to go back out. You're going to mess up again, because you hadn't got to the root of the problem. Most people just try to repair the relationship between the husband and wife. Well, see, those things are symptoms. See, it's just like two brothers can't get along. Two brothers that can't get along, it's not that we need to have brother counsel, yeah, but we got to get man and God counsel, yeah, because there's a problem between God and man. Yeah, yeah. If two brothers are having a problem, there's a problem between God and man. Yeah, those brothers got to get right with God so that they can get right with each other. It's just like a cross. A cross is made out of two beams. You have one beam that goes vertical, and then you have another beam that goes horizontal, that goes sideways. And what most people try to do, they try to fix the horizontal relationship, the relationship between man and man and man and woman. No, no, no. You got to start with the one that goes vertical. man and God. Because, see, that's what's going to ground the relationship. The relationship don't have nothing to hold it up if you don't get that vertical relationship right. So the ultimate thing is you got to get right with God. Matter of fact, let me show you that in the Bible, Psalms 51. Because David, remember when David committed adultery, he slept with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He slept with another man's wife. Don't you remember that? But we have the prayer that David prayed when he got right with God over in Psalms 51. Look what David says, beginning with verse number 1. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest, and be cleared when thou judgest." You see that? David didn't, number one, he didn't try to sugarcoat it by calling it so much an affair. Sometimes, you know, we use worldly language, you know, like an affair. But what really happened, the wife and I, rather than saying you had an affair, you need to call it adultery. You need to say that you sinned. Did you notice? David looked at sin in three different ways. He refers to sin in three different names. But all these names was hard names. In verse 1, David says, "Blot out my transgressions." Did you notice that? Transgressions. He called sin transgression. And he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. That's when you use things the wrong way. And cleanse me from my sin. That's missing the mark. David, he said, my transgression, that's stepping out of bounds. Iniquity, that's when you can even take God's law and you can twist it and use things for your own benefit. And like David in this case, he was king. And so by him being king, he thinks that he can even have even another man's wife. Do you see how it is, ladies and gentlemen? When we get so lifted up in pride, we start even twisting even the scriptures and stuff. And we start rationalizing sin. And that's why David called it iniquity. Because when you start rationalizing sin, that's iniquity. You're twisting things for your own purpose. And so David says, blot out my transgression. He said, wash mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. And notice what he says. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Notice, it's on his mind. It's ever before. How many of you know you can't run from your problem? You can even take a vacation and you can go to Italy, to Spain, to Hawaii. You can go wherever you want to go, but you can't run from your problem. No, you can't run from it. And David says, against thee only have I sinned. Why did he say that? Because that's ultimate, whereas sin is ultimately against God. Yes, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. But the ultimate sin is against God. See, a lot of time we just want to apologize to people, but we got to get right with God. We got to fix that vertical relationship. We got to fix that. We got to fix that. And so David, he called sin, sin. So he called sin, sin. He didn't try to minimize it. No, no. He called sin, sin. Then notice what David did. Once David confessed his sins and he asked God, and verse number 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquity. So David is asking God to clean me up, clean me up, clean me up. And then in verse number 10, he says, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Yeah, yeah. And that's, I'm trying to answer your question. You're saying, how can we rebuild this trust? Well, you got to get all cleaned up. Because see, the thing about the scripture tell us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can clean you up where you don't have those same desires like you used to. Yeah, yeah. And so you need to be cleansed. And David says, renew in me, create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me. Yeah, yeah. Tell God to put righteousness on the inside of you. You want a spirit that's bent towards righteousness. See, you stepped out of bounds because you had a spirit that was bent towards worldliness and sinfulness. But you need a spirit that is bent towards righteousness. Then ask God to restore the joy of your salvation. Verse 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with a free spirit. And then will I teach transgressions thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Notice David says, I'm going to go to work for you, Lord. Rather than playing all this church and stuff like that, David says, I'm going to really start working for you. Did you notice that? He says, once you done cleaned me up and done gave me a new spirit, a right spirit and a clean heart, and restore that joy, once you done restored me, dear God, he says, then I'm gonna turn out to being one of the greatest teachers and soul winners that this world has ever seen. That's what David said. David said, then will I teach. He says, I'll teach transgressors that way. Folks that done stepped out of bounds, David says, I'll teach them how to do right. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. David says, I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to start evangelizing and I'm going to start converting sinners. I'm going to start preaching and letting folks know that they're going the wrong way. See, that's how you know. That's how you know that you really done got right with God, is when you begin to start fighting against that stuff that at one time you used to be for. David at one time used to be for adultery. But now David's got a new mindset that David says, listen, I'm going to tell everybody that ain't the way to go. And I'm going to show folks the way to go. And listen, once you have that attitude, now think about the question we're trying to answer. Your question, you wanted to know how you can rebuild trust. This is how you do it. Once God done clean you up, once God done fix you up, and once you start really getting out there ministering for the Lord, then your mate gonna know that you done changed. See, once your mate see that you truly done repented, and that God has given you a new heart, and that you working for the Lord, I mean, you really working for the Lord, then that's going to rebuild trust in your marriage. Did you hear what I said? That's going to rebuild the trust in your marriage. When your wife see that you working for the Lord, and how hard you working for the Lord, then she don't know that you done changed. Same thing, mister. When you see your wife done not only saying I'm sorry and saying that I'm not going to do it no more. When you see them working for the Lord and trying to help other married couples work through their problem, trying to prevent people from going and stepping out of bounds, trying to prevent them from making the same mistake and the same sin that you have done. And then those who have committed that sin, when you see her trying to help them people get out of that, then all of that is going to help in the rebuilding of the trust. Yeah, all of that is going to help rebuild that trust. See, godliness is the way to happiness. Did you hear what I say? Godliness is the way to happiness. Let me move on. But that's how you build trust. When they see that you done turned to God and you live in a godly life, then a person can trust a godly person. People can't trust ungodly people. So just be godly, and in time, watch God work. It is going to rebuild trust. All right, let me move on to the next question. Next question is, it looked like it's dealing with a mom-in-law question. My mother is sick and will be coming to live with us. What can I do to make sure it don't take a toll on our family? Let me read that again. My mother is sick and will be coming to live with us. What can I do to make sure it don't take a toll on our family? Well, that's going to be hard not to take a toll. Depending on just how sick your mother is going to determine how big of a toll it's going to take on your family. But there's going to be some changes. Whenever you move somebody in your house, whether that person is sick or whether you're moving a college student in your house, it's going to change the dynamics of your house. Whether you move in your brother, your sister, it's going to change the dynamics. It's going to change the flow of things there in your house. And particularly by you bringing your mom and your mom is sick, it's going to change something. Now, if your mother is bedridden, it's going to take, you know, a greater toll because, you know, your mom done lost a lot of her independence. But if your mom has, you know, still a lot of independence, and for the most part, you know, you're just moving her there so she won't be by herself, but she still, for the most part, can still do a lot of things for herself, then it's not going to take that big of a toll. But the key, though, is communication. That's the key. The key is communication. It can work. It can work because long ago, that's how people used to do it. That's how they used to do it. And still, in a lot of your third world countries, you go to Japan and Korea and China, you have 3 and 4 generations of people still living together in one big house. So you can do it. You can do it. It's just a little bit different here in America. But the key is going to be communication. What you're going to have to do, you're going to have to lay down some guidelines. See, anytime you bring a person in your house, you're going to have to lay down some guidelines, some rules. I wouldn't go as far as just calling them rules, but some guidelines. You have to lay down some guidelines on who does what and how y'all like things done at your house, because this is still your house. Even though your mama is coming to live with you, I mean, this is your house. And so she's coming to live with you. So you just can't just turn over the reins to that, the house, to your mom, and tell your mom, okay, mom, just have, you're waiting on, she's coming into your house, and so you need to let her know right up front. Now, mama, we do things a little bit different. We do things a little bit different over here. Over here, you know, we do it this way over here. I know you more of accustomed to doing it that way at your house, but over here, this is kind of how we do it over here at this house. And I think if you come up with some good guidelines and things like that, it'll work out. But lay down some good guidelines, and then make sure everybody got their own space. Make sure people got their own space, such as when your husband come home from work, he's gonna need, you know, some time, some winding down time, you know, with you. He's gonna need some winding down time with you. If he's normally accustomed to coming into the house and y'all kind of sat down at the coffee table together and y'all drank a cup of coffee together, well, y'all still need to drink y'all coffee together, you know. And mama need to understand now this is our lit, you know, time. This is the winding down time where my husband and I, we kind of do a little debriefing here. We kind of do it. So as long as mom understand, I think you're going to be fine. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs 4:7, it says wisdom is the principal thing. And that's what you're going to need. You're going to need some wisdom. But then the scripture also says at the close of that verse, and in all thy getting, get understanding. And I think it'll work out. I think it'll work out. You know, sometimes grandparents can be a real big blessing to your to the house, particularly if you got children and things. They can help out somewhat with the children, and some bonding can even take place between the your children and your mama. So don't look at it as a bad thing. I think this can be a real good thing. You know, Ruth was a blessing to, in that situation between Ruth and Naomi. Naomi, her mom-in-law, was a big blessing unto her when she had, her and Boaz got together and they had that baby. So, grandparents and parents and things like that, they can be a big blessing. So look at this as a blessing in disguise. All right. Oh, I had another good question, but I'm not going to be able to get to it today in the situation room. But hopefully something was said and done to help you and encourage you in your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB. It's at the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready now. Get ready. I'm going to put on Miss June in just a few minutes, play a couple of commercials, and then we're going to come on with Miss June Hunt, just a great counselor. All right. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. 10 o'clock, Unshackled. 11 o'clock, a deeper look in the book. 12 o'clock, missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the situation room. God bless you. Have a good day.